Do you remember the first time you ever played here in Keynes?
1936, with Bob on his broadcast.
Just sitting in because he'd won the contest.
That was part of the...
Oh, yeah, just came up to the broadcast. Of course, he knew me from the contest, and he let me get up on the stage and play a breakdown for him.
So you didn't know you were going to play with him when you came to the show?
No, we just came down to watch.
Here in Keynes?
Yeah.
You were standing right down here.
Yeah, well, Leon McAuliffe actually was the guy that saw me up there when I came in the door, me and my brother. And he brought me down to see Bob. Bob had me get up on the bandstand and play one.
You're 12 years old. Were you so young that this didn't bother you, or did it make you nervous?
It didn't make me nervous. I was so bashful back in those days. It wasn't funny, but... In fact, I was so bashful, I wouldn't even go out the front of the stage to get my prize that night, as big as it was down there at the Coliseum. Just a scared kid, I guess.
So that's something. Here where we sit is where it really took off for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The music, was that known then as Western Swing?
No, I believe that term came along a little later. Okay. Actually, the term for the kind of music we played was hillbilly. Mm-hmm. In those days, instead of country. Of course, they kind of separated it out in that they started calling it country music and bluegrass and then Western Swing, you know. But the Western Swing, when I was with Johnny Lee, well, all of Western bands I was with, we played everything that came out. If it got popular, we played it because we had to do it on the radio and the dances. So it didn't make any difference if Margaret Whiting or whoever came out with a song or Jimmy Davis or whether it was country, pop, or whatever. We played it.
Now, they would sometimes call that also hot string band music. Wasn't that one of the terms that they used back in those days?
Yeah.
Western Swing allegedly came along in the 40s to describe Spade Cooley, who was a West Coast Western Swing player, an Oklahoma native, but a West Coast Western Swing player, because Benny Goodman was out there as the king of swing. And so they needed something to differentiate Spade Cooley, so they started calling him the king of Western Swing. Later on, Count Basie's band was called the King of Jump Swing. So there were these little gradations. Mr. Mayo always said it was Roy Rogers that came up with that term. I don't think it was, but it's possible. But it was a West Coast term that came along in the mid-1940s.
Would it be true that Texas was the birthplace of Western Swing?
What I like to say on my show is that it was born in Texas, but it grew up in Oklahoma. Yeah. It was from right here where we're sitting with KVOO, the Keynes Ballroom, and Bob Wills in 1934, when they started those daily broadcasts, that Western Swing became what it is. Don't you think, Curly?
Yeah, I really believe that. And when they got rid of the banjo and added the drums.
Yes,
that's
the
when
tenor
Western
banjo.
Swing really took off.
Fort Worth was when, really, they started playing with the Light Crust Doughboys and all of that back in the late 1920s, early 30s. Milton Brown, Bob Wills, Herman Einspiger, Durwood Brown was on that, Sleepy Johnson, maybe some of those guys.
Yeah.
But it was really when Bob came up here and started really doing it every day. KVOO was a true clear channel. It could get all over the western part of the United States, up into Canada and everything. There are stories of people in the Philippines getting radios out of bombers and tuning in Bob Wills from Tulsa. So that's really where it took off. It was born in Texas, but it took off here.
Is Western Swing a combination, then, of other forms of music? Let's talk about that a little bit. Jazz? It comes off jazz?
Yes, jazz, Dixieland, and country, and blues. Mm-hmm. It's a form of all of it, really.
Pop music, as you were talking about.
Yeah,
you'd play
the
pop tunes like Tuxedo Junction and all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
Certainly south of the border music. There's a lot of south of the border sound in some Western swing. It's really an amalgam. If you want to define it, to me, and I've spent years, and Curly and I were talking about this on the way in, it's closer to Dixieland jazz than anything else because it's jazz improvisation over a dance beat.
Yeah, right.
That's really what Western Swing is, with usually country lyrics, but it's country dance beat with jazz improvisation on the instruments.
Right. It's actually just like the big band music in a way, because they took a lot of it off horns and put it on strings. Mm-hmm. It has a little bit of every kind of music in it.
What Curly means about the strings is a steel guitar might play, for instance, the trumpet part in a big band or the sax ensemble in a big band.
Yeah.
What were you telling me on the way in Leon McAuliffe's band, when you'd play that real big band stuff like Dream, you'd have two fiddles and a clarinet?
Yeah.
to mimic the sound of Glenn Miller with the four saxophones. So you have an analog with string. It's mostly stringed instruments as opposed to a big band where it's mostly brass and reeds.
You were inducted into the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame, and there might be some who wondered, well, why the Jazz Hall of Fame? But our discussion here should bring that together as to why that made sense.
Sure, string-based jazz, yeah.
But way back when, wasn't jazz kind of known for the city folk and the big city?
Right.
And here comes Western swing that was probably nurtured out of the country folk and the rural folk. And you combined that beat and jazz together, and that's how that all came about.
You're right there, yeah. Country people didn't care too much for jazz because naturally they were raised on, at that time, known as hillbilly music. Of course, that took in a lot of genres of the music. Hillbilly was then what we call Western swing and country now.
And cowboy.
Yeah, and cowboy. It took in everything just about.